What would you do if a childish game took a horrific turn? Could a moment of kindness lead to eternal gratefulness? Where would you run if you were alone and saw something terrifying outside your window? Today, we test the believability of the Listener Submission Collection, Volume 2.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's Tuesday. If you're listening to it on Tuesday, I hope you're having a great day no matter when it is. It's fall time now. Cold weather is coming.
Yeah, speaking of cold weather, still getting over this cold.
Yeah, you've been sick for like a week.
It's been a while. Yeah, but it's finally coming down. So that's good.
We're recording on a weekend, which for us is very unusual.
It's also later in the weekend, so like, yeah, this is strange.
It's nice, though. It's timely. There's no way I would be able to talk about OBJ if we recorded on our normal time. I just want to say up front, everybody, thank you so much for checking out our live stream, our Halloween special from Loveland, Ohio. Didn't see the frog. Did see a lot of running and screaming kids in a soccer tournament at our hotel.
Yes.
Both terrifying.
This is where my cold, I think, really started to kick in. Yeah.
It sensed the hazards.
If you listen to our quiz on Patreon, then you heard at its almost fullest extent.
You're just pouring tea down your throat, melting the bronchitis away, the brachiosaurus just shoved down your throat. So, it is that time again. It is listener submission collection time. Again, what is that? Well, go check out the first one. Just kidding. You're already here. Listen, there's no reason. Like, it's not one of those sequels you have to listen to in order.
Right, I mean? Right. It's not like you have to catch this in order. No. Like all the Freddy movies, right?
That's, dude, I'm not kidding. I was literally thinking about Nightmare on Elm Street when I was thinking of why you don't have to watch them in order.
We are in way too insane now.
This is great. I have high ambition for how this episode's going to go.
Okay.
What I'm saying is you can listen to this one first, but this is the way it goes. So, people, you, anyone, can submit a story to us to be on this podcast. Listener submissions. Go to our website, believingthebizarre.com. Go to submit your experience, fill out the form. We don't look at it. We put it away in a drawer. We lock it. A virtual drawer.
I was going to say, it's a virtual drawer.
Virtual drawer.
Wow.
That runs out of virtual space, which costs real money to grow your virtual space. But every now and then, we get a listener submission that is too petite, too Tom Cruise, too Al Pacino to turn into its own episode. So we look at those, we read those, but we keep those in another shelf of this virtual world until we collect a few of them, and then we do this. Because I don't want people to lie or fabricate a story so that it becomes its own episode. These shorter submissions deserve their light, their shine, and they will get that in these listener submission collections. Today I have four of them.
Yeah, they're like kids stacked on top of each other on a trench coat.
I'll be honest, the first time we did this, I didn't want to just message these folks back and be like, hey, listen, can you lie? Or can you embellish?
Can you make it longer?
Typically, what we do is we'll ask questions to get more details, mm-hmm. to make it a longer episode. I wasn't sure how the first listener submission collection was going to land. Multiple people hit us up and said they really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I'm very confident going ahead and doing the second one. All right. So all of that said, are you ready to dive into these four listener submission snapshots?
I already got my scuba tank on, man. Let's go.
Okay, so these are going to be very face value, but I think that since it's not one episode drawn out with these stories, I think for these specifically, it'll be kind of fun to take them at face value. Like, the only things we know are exactly what was told to us.
Okay.
We did no extra digging.
All right. You didn't, like, break out the little brushes or little scoopies?
Nope. No Alan Grant. Dinosaurs.
No. That's such a weird scene where he holds a dinosaur claw to the kid's throat and he's like,
Well, the kid was being a little bitch.
He was, but
he'll get you right around your belly and cut you open and kill you and give me your lunch money.
Alan.
Alan. Best scene ever. Okay. This is my third try. Story one is called The Haunted Bathroom. I came up with that. It's not the name that the story should probably get. But last time we did this, I literally called it what it was. And you lost. I think it was like the UFOs out the window or something like that. And I'm like, well, you kind of know what it's about. So this story was sent to us from Emma. It takes place in Indiana in 2017. And she's around 15 years old.
At the time.
At the time. So theoretically, she's probably about 19 now. Basic okay. math, you know. So around this time, 2017, Emma said that she would go to her dad and her stepmom's house every weekend. During the summers, especially, she would stay there for a full week or two at a time. I'm assuming it's because school's out, right? You don't have to be somewhere else. So she's there. She has a couple of cousins that stays there when she's there as well. And she's pretty close to these cousins, Tina and Mary. And her stepbrother stays there, Ian. Not that it really matters, but these are aliases for privacy reasons, okay. which were requested. So again, I'll just say cousins, Tina and Mary, and stepbrother, Ian.
Okay.
Those identifiers also don't matter. I'm just making sure we know all the characters in the game.
Yeah, so it's a big board.
Yes, big board. One house. Stepfather house. Oh, stepmother's house. Could, you know,
yeah.
Who knows what name it's under. Anyway, four of them. Really close, and they bonded over an intense love of the paranormal.
Oh, okay.
And urban legends, all the spooky things and such. I get it.
Yeah.
Do you know any Indiana ghost stories? Because I was thinking about this while reading it, and I'm like, I don't know if I know any Indiana-specific ghost stories.
Yeah.
Or like cryptids, you know, where it's like 50 cryptids from the 50 United States.
Yeah, no, the ghost story I know is when the dude from the Pistons blew out his leg. That's the ghost story I know.
Oh, see... Are you bringing basketball?
Yeah.
Because my ghost story is when Andrew Luck retired. Yeah. Yeah. I like it. So Emma, Ian, Tina, and Mary were all around the same age, you know, 15, so younger teens. And they liked playing creepy games like Bloody Mary, right?
Okay.
And Charlie Pencil Game, which I didn't know what that was. I had to look that up. Are you familiar? Am I old?
No. Yeah.
Am I crusty?
Yeah, you're old. I think I remember. I remember hearing about it.
I'll touch on it in a second.
Okay.
She also said, and I think this is really fun. I like this type of imagination. She said that they like to make cheesy horror documentaries and like okay. record it like playing like down the park, down the street. I like that stuff. I think that's fun and that shows good imagination
yeah.
and creativity. So the Charlie game, basically it's where you take like these pencils and you crisscross them and you turn it into like... Where each corner is like a yes or a no. And
okay.
then you ask a question and the pencils move. It doesn't necessarily have to be yes or no.
It's like makeshift dowsing rods.
Yeah. Or the grid and pendulum thing
yeah.
that we talked mm-hmm. about. And basically you just ask Charlie a question. And if the pencil moves towards one of the questions, then you just keep asking.
Sounds like you're inviting questions. This particular spirit into your house.
There's this guy named Charlie. It's like, God damn my phone. How do they get my number?
I'm so tired as a ghost.
Boo. Sounds like bad juju, though. I don't.
It does.
Yeah. But she does make a point, Emma, that they were pretty reckless when it came to these games.
I'm sorry. Just every guy named Charlie has to go play the game. Like, when I die, dude, I'm going to have to go play this game.
It's like the draft.
Yeah.
Like, it's your turn, you Charlie.
It, yeah.
You can't say no. Charlie, they have a lot of questions. Here's some coffee, bro. So basically, unlike the cursed cabin where they're like, we're learning, you know, the rules. You got to say goodbye. You got to close the board. You got to,
yeah, yeah.
you got to ask them to leave and not follow you. I don't know, out of either not believing it's really true. I think you can love paranormal without believing it's true. I mean, I think a lot of listeners would call me a harsh skeptic.
I think so too.
But I also love it. Like, I want to talk about it all day.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's whether or not they were just too young to take it seriously or they didn't believe it and they just thought it was a game, but they liked the content.
Could be a mix of both.
For sure. So one night they were bored and they came up with a list of spooky activities to do to keep themselves entertained. And one of the ideas that they came up with was to lock Emma and her cousin Tina in this old creepy bathroom for 10 minutes in complete darkness. And she says that this bathroom is really creepy, and I don't really know why. If this would be a follow-up where I'd be like, so what's creepy about it? Is it, like, really dirty?
Or yeah.
Like there's always someone behind you. It's like the Disney in the mirror where there's always a ghost behind you.
Oh, yeah.
Or there's just mildew. I don't know. but she said it's a creepy bathroom. She did also say that the house was significantly haunted, and especially that bathroom where she got negative vibes from. That's when you gotta hold your pee.
Yeah.
Even the girls find a bush.
Yeah, I'll go outside.
That'd be the worst house to be 2-bed, 1-bath.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a house. Dude, I don't even know if you know this. You've been in my basement once or twice, right?
Yeah.
There's a bathroom down there.
Oh, really?
Only spiders be using that toilet.
I say, would you ever go down there?
I've had to empty a mop bucket in that shower down there.
Mm-hmm.
I've never went to turn the shower on and successfully turned it on without getting like 500 cobwebs in my
arm. It's a full bathroom?
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
there's a toilet. The toilet is the only thing that looks new. It literally is like the crypt. What's the crypt keeper? It's like the crypt keeper's dungeon bathroom with like a new addition from Home Depot. Like
he put it in himself. He's really proud of it.
Yeah. It's like it flushes really well. So I don't know why it's spooky. I don't know why they're playing this game. It sounds terrifying, but they, of course, decide to do it. So they walk in and they make their way over and they turn off the lights. And for a few moments, all was calm, all was normal. And Tina and Emma exchange nervous jokes to pass the time and to ease the tension. Because remember, not only are they playing this game in the dark, this is a bathroom that is supposedly haunted.
Yeah.
And creepy somehow. So as each minute passed by, they started to feel a little bit more uneasy. So they decided to kind of stick together. And they were sitting shoulder to shoulder against a wall. When out of nowhere, Tina started breathing really irregularly and told Emma that something in the bathroom wasn't right. And just a few moments later, Tina claimed to see a dark figure in the bathroom.
He's like, could you get out? I'm trying to poop.
It's Charlie. He's like, y'all asked me so many damn questions. I had to take care of business. And Emma's eyes hadn't actually adjusted to the darkness yet. So she was unable to see the figure that Tina was talking about, which freaked her out even more. Because they were left there in this vulnerable state, you know, especially if Tina's telling the truth. Or, you know, if she's just messing with her, it is what it is. But she doesn't know because she can't see. And a few minutes later, Emma got a really painful ringing in her left ear. When she described what she was feeling, Tina claimed that she actually had the same sensation a few seconds earlier, but it was in her right ear. At this point, the girls had enough and called it quits. They yelled for Ian to unlock the door, and Emma jumped up and turned the lights on. As soon as she flicked the light switch and the bathroom lights flickered on, they saw something absolutely terrifying. Black handprints were smeared on the wall. Absolutely unmistakable handprints. And judging by the handprints' location on the wall, whatever created them would have been sitting exactly between Emma and Tina, more specifically on Emma's left and Tina's right. So the next morning, they discovered that there were more black handprints and smudges on their bedroom ceiling.
Oh no.
And the handprints led from the room, which was connected to the bathroom, and over to the attic. She wonders to this day still if someone was in the house or if it could have been a prank by one of her cousins who planted it there ahead of time. But she can't explain these handprints, the eerie feelings, or the painful ringing that she and her cousin heard in their ears.
Oh my gosh.
And that is the end of the story.
Oh my lord. That's scary.
Yeah. The ringing in the ears is like, I wonder if that's, I know we'll be talking about this in the discussion, but I wonder if it's just the existence of something between them, or if this thing was like screaming on a different level that they couldn't really decipher.
Like that mosquito ringtone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like if we were in there, it would have been like silence. We'd have been like, this is boring. And our eyes are both bad. We wouldn't have seen shit in there, dude.
That's funny.
There'd be like a ghost like, guys, I'm right here. Hey. And we'd be like, so did you catch the game Thursday?
Unbelievable.
Can't see shit. Can't hear. Dude, I'm like, I got bad eyes. I got colorblind eyes. I have bad hearing. I'm like, I'd be so donezo if this was like primal world. So I did the same thing, and I was trying to remember what episode it was, with Skinwalkers, where the first encounter, I like retold it,
mm-hmm.
and then I realized I fucking hated it.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm just going to tell the stories. I'm going to do the stories. And I did the same exact thing with this. Like the first one, I'm like, I'm going to retell it and la, 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 la. And it's just the problem with that one specifically, if you go back and listen to that Skinwalker episode, is that they didn't have a name. So it was like the narrator said this, the narrator said that. So at least I had Emma.
That's
and,
true.
And the aliases. But for the remainder of the three listener submissions we have, they will be read.
In first person.
Indeed. This next story, which I called My Angel, is very different from every other thing we've ever done on Believe in the Bizarre.
Okay.
But it fits the bizarre, but it's very much unlike anything we've ever done.
It's just strange, right?
Yes. This is from Jody. Quote, "This story takes place in Southern California in 2007 when I was about 13 years old. My mom and most of her friends had been teachers since before I was born, and they always came up with different ways to help families in need. This particular year, my mom's best friend had a student in her class whose parents couldn't afford presents for their children because their youngest son, Juan, who was 4, was battling brain cancer. About 2 weeks before Christmas, many of the teachers in the school district got together and bought gifts for each of the 5 children and went to deliver them to the family. One of the teachers even arrived dressed as Santa, and the kids were thrilled. Little Juan was full of energy, and you could hardly tell that he was sick. We were invited inside and began distributing the presents to each of the children. I handed Juan his first gift, an unwrapped Spider-Man bouncy ball that was almost as big as he was. He set it down and gave me a big hug and said that we must be angels. I felt an immense sense of pride knowing that we were able to make Christmas a happy time for a family that was struggling. As the kids unwrapped the rest of their presents and began to play, we said our goodbyes and went home. A week later, and a few days before Christmas, I took my blankets and my pillows to the couch in the spare room so that visiting family members could stay in my bedroom. This particular night, I stayed up really late texting my crush at the time. I'm not sure exactly when I fell asleep, but I woke up suddenly around 3 a.m. when I felt a little hand shaking my arm. I rolled over to find Juan standing beside the couch. Sleepily, I sat up and asked him what he was doing here. He smiled and threw his little arms around me and hugged me tightly, just as he had done the first time we met. He said, "Thank you, my angel," before letting go and walking out of the room. Exhausted, I just rolled over and fell back asleep. When I woke up in the morning, I shrugged it off as a strange dream and decided not to mention it to my family. Christmas came and went, and my visiting family had gone home. On New Year's Eve, my mom got a call from her best friend telling her the little Juan had lost his battle with cancer and passed away peacefully in his sleep on the night of my strange dream.
Oh my God.
I finally told my mom about it, what I had seen and felt that night. And to this day, I'm not sure if she really believes me. This is the one and only time I've ever seen anything like this, but it's enough to open my eyes to the endless possibilities of this world. Unquote.
That is so strange, but really nice.
That, yeah, like not spooky. I mean,
yeah,
not spooky. It's touching. It's hard. It's sad. Actually, it's really tragic.
Yeah.
Sad, tragic, heartwarming in a way.
Yeah.
But I think it still very much falls under bizarre.
So, yeah, that's definitely weird.
Yeah, so I definitely wanted to include that.
Oh, man, that's... Oh, I don't...
It's not...
I feel weird about it.
It's not scary. If you had that... If you had that dream, if you were in Jody's space, I would be so much wondering if it was just like a coincidence versus was I like, you know, did I really see this boy's spirit?
But, oh, the that's coincidence on coincidence on coincidence, you know?
Also, like, if this little boy is expecting you to be an angel, that is, like, you have some standards in life. Like, you can't do anything wrong. Otherwise, you just think, is he watching?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's crazy.
Are you ready for story 3?
Yes, I am. I am.
Since 1998, Stamps.com has been an indispensable tool for nearly 1 million businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're an office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy shop, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. No special supplies or equipment. Within minutes, you're up and running, printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send. And you'll get exclusive discounts on postage and shipping from USPS and UPS. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. No traffic, no lines. Cut the confusion out of shipping. With Stamps.com's new Rate Advisor tool, you can compare shipping rates and timelines to easily find the best option. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk. And with our promo code POD, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in POD, P-O-D. That's Stamps.com, promo code POD. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Hi, officer. Everything okay?
Have you been drinking tonight, sir? What is that?
What? Oh, this? No.
That looks like a beer to me.
I can totally see why you'd think that based on its sleek, tallboy aesthetic, but it's actually a can of Liquid Death.
Liquid Death?
Yeah, the new water company.
You think I'm stupid? Here, let me try that. H2O, shit.
Right?
By God, this is fucking fantastic. I mean, this is good.
You can taste the mountain water quality, can't you?
And the can, it's
so cold. Yeah, exactly.
And my thirst is gone.
Not just gone.
Murdered.
Just like your favorite 80s slasher, Liquid Death stalks dehydration. There is nowhere for thirst to hide as it wanders around lost in minimal clothing, letting the suspense build until the crescendo of sound and thirst is slaughtered. Hey, what are you doing?
Writing you a ticket for hurting our great Mother Earth. You should be using a reusable bottle.
No. See, this can is infinitely recyclable.
That sounds too good to be true. What am I supposed to think? They donate 5% of their proceeds to fight plastic pollution?
Actually, no. They donate 10% to eliminate plastic waste.
Say, where can I pick up these beer-like, dope-as-shit cans of water?
Just head to your local Whole Foods or 7-Eleven. You can even order online.
That's right. And you can head online to liquiddeath.com/bazaar, where you'll get free shipping if you buy 2 or more cases of water.
Yeah. Wait, how did you know that?
I'm actually an undercover agent working for Liquid Death, the DDU.
DDU?
The Destroyed Dehydration Unit.
Nice.
Calling all DDUs. We have a thirsty suspect between Believing Boulevard and Bazaar Road.
Roger that. Have a good night. And again, be sure to go to liquiddeath.com/bazaar and join Liquid Death Country Club by selling your soul, and you'll get a free shirt with your purchase of water.
Again, that's liquiddeath.com/bazaar. Slaughter your thirst today. So this story I titled The Shadow Figure, and this was sent to us from Malia. Quote, since I was a toddler, something's been off with the spiritual world and me. About 2 weeks ago, I realized what exactly had been watching me. That night, I had not slept well at all, and I struggled to stay asleep. This is the only thing I can remember. I was lucidly dreaming of a shadow figure behind a door in my house. It had a terrifying growl and an even creepier laugh. Its eyes, which were the worst part, were glowing and watching me intently. I remember pointing and screaming as loud as I could that it's watching me. It's watching me. Why is it watching me? Suddenly, I woke up and not able to move, like I was in sleep paralysis. I've never experienced this before, but I could see the door that it had been behind, and I didn't see it, but I could still hear its dark laugh. It seemed as the only way to escape it was to somehow fall back asleep. To this day, I still feel as if someone or something watches me and makes noises, and out of the corners of my eye, I still see that shadow figure. I only want it to leave me alone. Unquote. When these come to us are so random, and it takes months and months for us to get to these stories, I wonder if this was sent to us around the time of the sleep paralysis.
Maybe.
or the old hag episode. Mm-hmm. So I remember in that episode, I was talking about if we got enough of them that we would just do a sleep paralysis old hag episode of just submissions.
Yeah.
And we received a few. We didn't receive enough to turn in an entire episode into just personal encounters with sleep paralysis. But I'm wondering if this was one of the ones that came from that time.
That's spooky. Man, I would say if it's still following them, I'd say burn sage.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know professional or anything. That's...
I say hit us up again, and we'll hit Isaac from Hitting the Shadows up. We'll hook you guys up.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll solve
that. Isaac knows what to do, for sure.
Here's the thing for me with this, and I feel like we keep going, like towing the line of the discussion. If I read this on Reddit, I would treat it so differently than how I'm treating it, knowing that a listener sent it to us.
I agree.
And I'll leave it at that for now. We'll come back to it in the discussion. For our fourth and final listener submission for this volume, this is called The Terrifying Grin.
Okay.
And was sent to us from Nicolette. Quote, "This event occurred on the night of my 13th birthday, December of 2011. We lived in a densely wooded area of Richmond Furnace, Pennsylvania, on the top of a winding mountain trail, barely big enough for a mid-sized car to fit on. The only street light on the mountain was installed when my parents bought the land and built their house back in the early 90s. They owned about 3 acres of land. Roughly one was where our house, the front yard, and the backyard sat, and the rest was just woods. My parents had gone out that night with my younger 2 brothers. They were doing some early Christmas shopping, and I'd wanted to stay home. They agreed, since it was my birthday, and they figured I'd be fine for a few hours on my own at the house. It was normal enough. Started to get dark around 5-ish, and I put a movie on in the living room to watch. Our living room had these large bay windows that faced the front yard, and another set that faced the backyard, a clear view straight through the living room. Around 6 p.m., I started hearing these little taps on the window that faced the front yard, but I thought it was just the trees and the wind, so I ignored it. Well, the taps became more frantic and more forceful as time went on. Finally, I got up and I went over to the window. There, pressed right up against the glass, I mean smashed against the glass, was a face. Not a normal looking person peeping or something like that. I mean, this looked like something out of one of those old folk tales. It was paler than the frost outside. The eyes were this horrible black color, and it was smiling, grinning. That grin was stretched so wide, I've never seen anyone be able to stretch their mouth like that. We stared at one another for a while. It honestly felt like another hour passed while I was just locked up staring at this thing. Finally, I ran for the front door to check the locks. It ran with me.
Duh.
Thankfully, the front door was already deadbolted, so I ran to the back door and it took off after me. I could see it through the windows. I got to that door barely a second before it did and deadbolted it. The thing started screaming and beating on the back door like it was throwing all of its weight against it. I fell on the floor at some point, so I was trying to scoop back and just watch the door. It was bowing under the weight. I thought it was going to snap in half. The screaming was just awful and unnatural sounding, and it was so loud, no person could have been screaming that loudly. Finally, I got it together and ran for the house phone in the dining room, again by the big bay windows. And while I dialed 911, that thing came back around the front, and it saw me on the phone and started throwing itself against the window, pounding on it, screaming and screeching. The 911 operator could barely even hear me. I was crying and just told them to get here as fast as they could. The phone fell on the floor, and I was just crying with my hands held over my ears, watching it pound away on the glass and smashing its face against it again and again. I don't know how it didn't shatter. The whole house felt like it was shaking. The state police were about 45 minutes away, so I knew nobody was going to get here very soon. I just prayed the glass would hold on as long as it could. It must have heard the sirens from down the mountain, and it took off running a little before the lights were visible through the trees. They had to break the door down because I couldn't make myself get up off the floor. I still had my hands over my ears. They eventually got me calmed down enough that I could tell them what happened. I knew they didn't believe me. At least, maybe they thought it was just some intruder, and my fear turned that intruder into a monster. By the time my parents came home, they found that the screens in all of our bedroom windows had been shredded, not cut, like with a knife or a box cutter, but shredded like an animal had gone after them. My mother's flower beds had been destroyed, and there was blood and urine in them. The gouges on the back door were so deep that they asked me if maybe it had been a bear. They couldn't find fingerprints or human footprints, though. About 2 days after that night, our only neighbor, about a half a mile away, had heard his horses fussing in the middle of the night and gone to the barn with a gun to check on them. He said he saw something hunched in the barn and tried to shoot at it, but it got away and went back into the woods. Thankfully, his horses were okay, just spooked. A month later, a house at the base of the mountain found similar things when they came to check on it since they used it as a summer house. Shredded window screens and gouges in the door. The state police wrote it off as an addict who had been in the woods and decided to try and break into different places. I know that thing wasn't an addict. It wasn't a person. People aren't that tall, that strong, and they sure as hell don't scream and screech like that thing did. Unquote.
Oh my God. What the hell was that?
I read this story for the first time last week, and it was late at night, and I got legitimately freaked out. Like, normally, like, the TV's on, or there's music, or it's daytime when I'm going through these. But this one I read at night, and I stopped. I was like, I'm freaked out.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But with that said, are you ready to go to the discussion?
Yes.
So, before we get to the discussion, this is the time that we want to thank our patrons, and more specifically, our new patrons. So, as of the recording of this podcast, we would like to thank our new patrons, Michaela, Marisol, and Connor. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon, for supporting the podcast, helping us do things, for instance, like go to Loveland and get a hotel and do a live episode there, which was awesome and a ton of fun. And remember, for anybody interested in extra bonus content, anybody on the fence, we got quizzes, we have interviews. Like, for instance, these stories here, these listener submissions, if they're interested, we take those authors of these stories and we interview them to go into a deep dive into telling us more about the story in their words, all that stuff. Is a ton of fun. And everybody's been super awesome that we've talked to. Not that I didn't think they would be, but they have been super awesome. Also, we just posted about this over the weekend. We have merch. We got Believing the Bizarre merch, different designs. This is totally hoodie weather. It's fall. It's not quite. Well, I'm going to be honest. It was 26 degrees.
It was cold. It was cold.
It was 26 degrees. That's more than hoodie weather. Close. But we do have awesome hoodies. We have shirts. We got tons of different stuff, so check that out. Bonus content if you're interested.
There's a clip of one of my stories.
we did talk about our favorite or most memorable Halloween stories, and we did throw the ninja one up.
Which, yeah. So,
even if you don't want to join Patreon, you should go check out that story because it's entertaining. But again, thank you everybody so much for supporting the podcast and for listening. And with that, let's get to the discussion. Okay, so do you want to go through them one at a time and kind of discuss? And
then, yeah, sure.
I think we should look at it, talk about it, rate it, and move on.
I agree.
Because there's four of them. Sometimes we take like 15 minutes on one story.
Yeah, it could get tedious if we stay too long on one.
Yeah. So let's go with our first submission from Emma, the haunted bathroom. So again, they're playing games like the Charlie game, all that. They go in the bathroom.
They handprints.
See if one of them sees a figure.
Yeah.
The handprints, the piercings sound It has not Bloody Mary vibes, I guess, because they didn't really like call anything out. And they said, here would be my question, right? If this was something that we turned into a full episode and I emailed back to get more information, I would want more background and context on the house.
The haunted house.
Because it's just assumed by, well, them, it makes sense to them. But for us, it's like, oh yeah, just trust me, it's a haunted house. Yeah. Well, like, how?
Why?
How is it haunted? Even if you can't do the how.
Do they have to like clean up the handprints?
Yeah, or like a picture. I feel like a picture would exist.
Yeah.
Is it things move on their own and doors open on their own haunted? Or is it when I'm sleeping, I see shadow figures haunted? I think that I would want more clarity on that.
Is this an escalation to something that's been happening?
Right. Also, because she mentions it herself. Have you ever, and I think I mentioned it on a different episode. Have you ever seen the psychological film where kids are being focused to see how many times a ball bounces and they're counting it in their head, but they don't see somebody in a gorilla suit in the background because they're so hyper focused on something? No. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-mm. Okay. That exists. And you'd be surprised how many people didn't see the gorilla because they were so hyper focused on counting how many times the ball bounces. Mm-hmm. If there's a way that they were able to kind of disguise the handprints or draw her attention away, if Tina was very aware of these handprints as a prank and was to get her, because Tina's the one that says she saw the figure. Okay, here's my way that it's fake. They're planted. Tina does her job to make sure she somehow doesn't notice it. Maybe they turn the lights off. Tina leads them to that wall.
Mm-hmm.
They sit down. Tina says she sees a shadow figure, not Emma. Emma never sees the shadow figure. Emma says that she hears the ring in her ears. Tina uses that as an opportunity and says, oh yeah, me too. I hear it too. Even though maybe she's like, I'm not saying Emma made that up, but sometimes like if you're in a bathroom and somebody's saying that there's a figure, that could just be your body's response. Like I've heard, you know, like you can hear weird things sometimes.
Yeah, I get ringing in my ears sometimes.
Yeah. It's also a symptom of whiplash. Neither here nor there. So what I'm saying is she could have used the moment as bias and fed off of it. And then, you know, they turn the light on.
Oh my God. Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's true, but she's the one that's saying maybe it was a prank. And that's my hypothesis on how it could be a prank.
I agree. I don't know if that's what happened.
No, it also fits a haunting. Like, it fits a haunting. I would want to know, like, okay, it's a black handprint, like, dusty.
Or, like soot.
Yes.
Or, like, grease.
Yeah. There's, like, oh, there's so many questions. Let's bounce back and forth. Do you want 1 and 3, or do you want 2 and 4 in terms of giving your opinion first?
I guess 1 and 3.
Okay, so, well, do you have any other thoughts or questions?
I just want to know if they had to clean them off. That's my biggest question.
If they disappeared,
yeah.
Or if they literally had to scrub a dub it.
Mm-hmm. If that ever happened again. I don't know. I think it's viable. Just because I think if there's that significant of evidence, I wish I could have saw a picture.
Yeah. I'm not going to say whether or not I find it believable that it happened. In the paranormal world, I'm not going to say it's believable. But I'm going to say that whether it was a prank or it's true, it happened. So I'm going to go believable.
Okay.
So story 2, my angel. So again, this is Jody's story. Her mom and her mom's friends, who are all teachers, they do nice things for families. They buy presents for a family with a young boy who has brain cancer. She sees him around New Year's Eve. No, she sees him around Christmas.
Christmas, yeah.
She sees him around Christmas time. He wakes her up, says, "You're my angel," hugs her, walks away. And then she finds out a few weeks later, that night, he passed away.
Yeah. It feels, oh man, like such Tiny Tim vibes from him. I mean, I don't even mean as a joke, just like I feel bad for him.
This feels like, it feels like a story that already exists. I'm not saying she stole it, and I think this is her story. It just feels like, not like a Twilight Zone, because it's like a heartwarming, but still tragic. It's like if you wanted to tell a ghost story that wasn't scary, like a tragic ghost story, or like if you just remove the horror from a ghost story, but you still have a ghost and there's meaning behind it. Here's the best thing. And I don't mean that like, you know, this is great that it happened. As a storyteller, whether this is true or false, what you try to do is you try to elicit something from somebody. Now, obviously, the majority of the episodes, the stories, personal encounters we do is trying to elicit fear. I would say this one successfully elicited an emotion, not on the horror realm, but it's just like, oh my God. Like, and I'm not going to question anybody's intelligence. I think about halfway through the story, you knew what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was like the shock. Like the shock for her because she's living it. Like I think if this happened to you in real life, I think you'd be mind blown.
Yeah.
But you're listening to a paranormal podcast.
Yeah.
And so you knew going into this that
something's going to be weird.
Yeah. I think I trust you guys to put two and two together. So you kind of, I feel like you have to take that frame away. Like I think you have to peel that back, that layer, and truly try and step back and imagine this really happened to you. Like don't think about it in terms of this podcast, this episode. Think about if this really happened to you. That's crazy. You know, it feels like fiction. Those moments always make me like I know he said my angel and I'm assuming he doesn't really grasp the complexities behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just kind of like, you're this amazing person. Thank you so much for giving me something to hold on to. Not physically, but you know, mm-hmm. physically, I guess the ball, but you know, emotionally. But it's like, if he's always like, I made a joke about it, but I do kind of want to talk about it. If you imagine that there's people in an afterlife waiting for you and watching you, I mean, you're picking your nose.
Oh, someone's always watching?
Yeah, it's like,
I like to believe that there's some privacy involved as well. I don't know.
That's an extreme perspective on this, and it's not really relevant to the story. It's just, if you really did believe this to be true, and if you really thought he was, you know, thought of you as an angel and was like keeping tabs on you, it's like, all right, I'm using the bathroom now.
To say it's a space all the time.
There's so much of it that feels fiction, but it also feels very real to me. How is it landing for you?
I feel like it happened. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stories of charity and stuff. Just because it's not necessarily scary, I believe this kind of ghost story can happen.
Is it now? Okay. Just because what we read happened. Here's what we read. There's a family.
Mm-hmm.
She made this family, not her specifically, but her mom and friends and her too. They made a family's Christmas, and she left a major impact on this little boy.
Yeah.
And then she had a dream or something at night where this little boy came, and then that same night, coincidentally, he happened to pass away. That's what we read. Is there any chance that it was just a dream based on her experience with him? He even said the same phrase. Mm-hmm. So she's not even reinventing phrases that he could have said. She literally pulled what exactly happened from her subconscious.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that it was coincidence? That would be the thing you'd have to buy. You'd have to buy the coincidence that the same night he passed away is the same night that she had. For this instance, I'll call it a dream. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think absolutely possible. Because she's imagining, reimagining the nice thing that happened while she's drifting to sleep.
Right, which I think even if that's true, and she came to terms that it was a dream, I think the coincidence is still bizarre enough to hold on to.
I agree.
So I'm going to give it a viable. No, I can't. Because even if it's a dream and it happened, the coincidence is bizarre. And so I'm going to give it believable.
I give this one a believable.
Yeah. Even if she dreamed it, the coincidence is bizarre. But if she didn't dream it, then it's entirely in bizarre world, bizarre land, and still believable. Okay, number three, the shadow figure. Very much a sleep paralysis story, in my opinion. Person, Malia, is seeing the shadow figure in a room, glowing eyes, terrifying growl, terrifying laughter. Claims moments of sleep paralysis, but also can still hear and see the shadow figure every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I would have liked a lot more detail.
This was like a paragraph.
Yeah.
This is why we say, and I'm sure we'll say it again at the end of this episode, if you submit a story to us, without fabricating, please give us as much detail as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, what color were the glowing eyes? Red, mm-hmm. yellow, green?
Did the door ever swing? What did the laugh sound like?
How tall was it?
Yeah.
Where do you often see it?
Have you ever seen it outside of sleeping?
Again, I'll say this. if you're okay with your personal encounter being in one of these listener submissions, then I would rather get a paragraph than nothing.
That's true.
Like, I'd rather get a paragraph where you're like, there's no embellishment. This is exactly as it is. This seems like a not, like, when I think about, like, we'll get into it with the next story with the terrifying grin. That was a moment. They turned one moment into a submission. This feels like it exists beyond this moment.
Yeah, it could be like a lifetime.
I feel like there's more instances that could have been detailed out.
Yes.
Where I feel like these listener submission collection episodes are great for a moment. Like we said, you might see a UFO one time and never again for the rest of your life. That doesn't diminish the one time you saw it. And that doesn't mean that you have to wait and wait and wait to see it again before you submit to a podcast like this or any other podcast out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot, specifically, there's a lot of Sasquatch podcasts out there where people interview folks that have seen Sasquatch. And chances are a lot of people that don't hunt Sasquatch probably only see him one time.
It's true.
It's like a vignette. We're going way off here. So I feel like I interrupted you. So
you mentioned if I had read this on Reddit versus someone had sent it to us, I would view it differently. Do you want to elaborate on that?
It's very short and it's very vague.
Yeah.
What I mean. I feel, but also, I mean, like, it's, I was also alluding to the bias of Reddit or the unreliability of Reddit.
Mm-hmm,
where I assume if somebody's taking the time, I guess it could be said the same for Reddit, but if somebody's taking the time to write this out, I feel like there's a certain amount of legitimacy where it's like, I feel like it's not like, you know, it's 9 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. I got nothing better to do. I'm just going to make up this story and send it to these random podcasters. That feels a little random. Like, yeah. I feel like there's intention behind this. And also it does lead into things that we talked about with sleep paralysis. I know it's not necessarily the old hag, but the majority of the personal encounters that we had that episode weren't really about, like, the woman that sits on you and chokes you. It's people seeing things, hearing things, auditory and visual hallucinations.
Just the vagueness of this, I feel like there could have been so much more to it. I want to go, like, a skeptical 0.5. Like, it's, like, almost viable. I'm just missing so much.
I think that's fair. If it was just this moment, if it was a snapshot of this one night, I would go believable because I would say that they suffered sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
But then it ends with, I still see this guy or this thing. I still hear this thing. So that makes me feel like there's something more. And I feel bad saying that like ... makes it less than believable.
Makes it sound more like a ghost story, for sure.
At that point, it no longer is just sleep paralysis. Because I don't know if you're awake. I don't know if you're not awake. I don't know the context. But I believe in sleep paralysis, especially the science behind it. And I think that there's... I think if you suffer from sleep paralysis and you experience something like this, and it's traumatizing, things like that can seep into your everyday life. I don't know about you. And I'm actually going to ask you this. Have you ever played a video game so much in your life that you can hear noises from that game in your real life?
Yes. Yeah. I had to think about it for a minute. Yeah, it did.
I used to play way too much Left 4 Dead, especially Left 4 Dead 2. And I remember texting my sister about this. Every now and then we'd be out and about, and when a special infected creature would come, there'd be like a piano sound. Every now and then, or like a horde, there's like a horn, like a very subtle horn noise. And every now and then we'd be like, I just hear it sometimes out and about. Because you play the game so much and you're so acutely aware of it that I feel like sometimes I just feel like I hear it.
It's kind of like a phantom ringing with your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. So I'm thinking, and that's, I'm drawing connections from two very, like, my arms are way spread out to connect these two, like an accord that I'm plugging in and it doesn't quite fit. I know this is a stretch. What I'm saying is Malia could have suffered from sleep paralysis and hallucinated this terrifying shadow figure and heard it. And that has seeped into real life. Or she's fucking haunted. I don't know. I can't give it a believable because I need more. I'm going to go viable because I very much so buy into sleep paralysis. Okay, the last one from Nicolette, the terrifying grin. She's home alone on a mountain, 3 acres, tons of woods. It's nighttime and she sees this thing pushing its face against the window with this irregularly, terrifyingly large grin, and it just starts pounding and screeching. And we talked about this a little off air in between. I just want to point this out. Even though the grin visually is terrifying, when I was reading it the first time, the moment that legitimately scared me and freaked me out is when she's having this dual stare off with this thing, and she goes and thinks, oh no, the front door locks. And she goes to run to lock the doors. And before she leaves the room, she notices at the same time, the thing also runs to the front door. That moment is so cinematic, and it turns into so much flight or fight. And it goes from this terrifying moment, like standoff, to a run for your life and hope you can beat this thing to your front door.
Mm-hmm.
And that part stood out the most to me. And I was really happy, Charlie, that you had an audible reaction to it. Because I do think, even though the visual of it is terrifying, I think that moment, like, there's always a moment that transcends the story for me. And for me, that was it. Like, the headbanging, screeching, the visual of the smile, all scary. But them both darting to lock the door at the same time, oh.
Yeah, that hits your, like, your lizard brain.
Oh, yeah. You're a reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
Just gotta lock the door.
Thankfully, that is so, it was locked. It's such a scary story.
Yeah, this is just...
That's a one-off, right? Nothing ever happened again?
No, it's just this story, and then she talks about her neighbor, and then the person who lives at the bottom. So, that
neighbor is brave. That neighbor is a Gryffindor. With the gun? Jesus. Yeah.
Gotta look out for my horses.
Yeah.
They're like, nay, spooky. Man, this is just terrifying.
I have no idea. Okay, I have no idea what the lore is of this thing. I thought Black Eyed Kid at first, and then I thought vampire.
Pale.
Yeah, I don't know.
She didn't make it seem like it had animal-like qualities.
No.
It just, man, I mean, Wendigo-ish?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know either. Cryptid? Like
vampire. That's the only thing I can come up with.
I could see why the cops might try and make it seem like somebody out of their mind or an addict or something.
Yeah.
But just, I like how she pointed out, like, yeah, but no, like the screeching, the screeching, the head banging.
I feel like I want to send her a message and be like, what lore is around this thing? What do you think it could be?
Yeah. If there was any of these stories that would have turned into a full episode, I mean, well, the first one was close, but I think this one is kind of, I feel like this could be, even though I think it's just that one moment.
Yeah.
So, which thank God. And is, oh you know, God. 10 years ago that this happened, 2011 in Pennsylvania. Like, it's just, it's kind of perfect. It's isolation.
It's very
scary. You're alone. It's dark out. You're in a rural area, not just a rural area, but you're covered with woods. You know, you see this thing, glass, so you know you could break in. You're alone. It's just, has all the makings of a great horror story.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm surprised that guy going out with its gun was able to, like, scare it away. But then again, I guess the cops scared it away initially.
That's true.
But you're right. And if anybody has a guess on the lore, let us know. Just for our own sake, wanting to know.
Like, what might this thing be? I don't know.
Yeah.
I take pride in knowing a lot of this stuff. I don't know. I'm freaking out.
And it gives it some credibility in the fact that it wasn't just her.
Right.
It was the neighbor and even the people who treated it like a vacation home had, like, the gouges and the screens cut. I don't know. This is legitimately terrifying.
Yeah.
And a reminder that we do not know what is out there. I mean, could it have been? I mean, it doesn't fit Bigfoot.
It's just a state away. I don't like that either.
What?
It's just a state away.
It is very close. I wonder how close Richmond Furnace is actually from us right now.
I'll have to look it up after.
Too scary. The pale face. That's
I don't like it.
That's where I'm lost a little bit. Because it's not like an animal or a Bigfoot. Mm-mm. It's human-like.
Yeah.
That's scary, dude. It's terrifying, which makes me biased. And my only excuse is that there were other people that experienced something. But also the vagueness helps out my opinion. It wasn't like, here's a story, here's a story, here's a story. I saw fucking vampire. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that she never really claimed what it is, like, that is the benefit of being vague. I want you to be as specific as possible, but that might hurt your rating. But that's okay, because it's about entertainment. More than anything, this podcast is about freaking you out, making you laugh, and entertaining you. Don't put too much stock in the scales. Even though we do, you don't have to. I'm giving this one believable because I really enjoyed it, which isn't fair to a lot of other stories we've done. But in my defense and Nicolette's defense, her neighbor and the vacationers all experienced very similar things. So whether or not it was paranormal or something maybe a little bit more tangible with what we can understand with our brains, I find it believable.
I believe this absolutely happened to her. I don't know what it was.
But there's so many details to grasp onto. Like the face, the running, the fact that when the cops came, she was so frozen with terror that she couldn't even, they had to break down the door.
And the gashes in the doors and the blood and the urine and the.
She commented, which I kind of left out of the story itself. She said that it was almost like something marking its territory, like the way a cat or something pees. I'd be moving out of there. How do you sleep in that house ever again?
With a gun.
With a gun. You're on that lucky
yeah.
Kelly Hopkinsville. So that is our second listener submission collection, volume 2. I feel like every like 4 or 5 months, we'll be throwing one of these guys out
there. Yeah, they're good to empty out the shelves, as you talked about earlier.
Clean that shit out. No, it's great because, like I said, people sometimes only have a short, small experience.
And like a burst.
That doesn't mean if you only see something scary or unusual or bizarre one time, does not mean it is less valuable than somebody who has a lot of experience or a lot of moments.
Yeah, it just sometimes they're not easy to fill out. And that's what these are for.
Exactly. I want you to get your shine as well. So thank you for listening. And remember, if you're enjoying the podcast, and you're all caught up, and you still like walking your dog, you still have a commute to work, you still have chores to do around the house, and you're like, God, I wish I had a little more. Thankfully, specifically for you, person I'm talking to, we have a Patreon with quizzes, director's cuts, interviews. We talk every Monday, and I think this goes under the radar a little bit for those of you that don't follow us on Instagram. Every Monday, we post a question, like a would you rather, this or that, what is your dot, 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 every Monday. And once a month, we sit down with our producer, Ben, and he presents those questions. He gives us your comments, and we comment on your comments, shout you out. There's some people we talk about literally every month, and you probably don't know.
Probably.
And we also give our opinions, and we answer the questions ourselves.
Yeah, I love that.
So if you've ever responded to one of our Monday questions and you want to know what we think about it or if we've responded to it, all of that is on Patreon. Again, with everything else we said, check it out. Boatloads of extra content that we absolutely stand behind.
And if you're not that interested in our Patreon, that's fine. But you're enjoying the show and you're on Apple, please feel free to leave a review, because that would just mean the world to us.
And you know we're going to screenshot it and send it to each other. And we also always put it on our Instagram stories. But anyway, seriously, thank you everybody so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre,
a podcast as bizarre as you are.